Hey guys, and welcome to the show. I'm on vacation, and today we're going to do 8 really cool tips and tricks in Windows 10, and we'll also talk about some neat tools. So without further ado, let's play the music. Hi guys, and welcome to the show. Today we're going to do something a little different. I don't have a guest. I'm going to go through 8 really cool features. Features that you can find in Windows 10. Some of them require the anniversary update. Some of them don't. Some of them have been around for a little while. Overall, these are some things that I think are pretty cool. Some of them are kind of obscure, so stick around. You might learn something. The first one I'm going to show you is Command Prompt Cut and Paste. So this is something that people have asked for a long time, and it's actually pretty neat now. Let me show you. First thing I'm going to do is open up a command prompt and follow along at home. I'm going to go up to the command prompt icon on the top taskbar and come down and select Properties. And if you go to Options, one of the things that you'll see under Options now is Enable Control Key Shortcuts. And if you check that, you're able to use Control-C, Control-V. So let me show you how that works. Just select OK here. And I'll just open something up, anything. Let me find a doc here that I can cut from. So I'm just going to create a text file here. Oops, you actually have to be able to type. Here we go. And I'll just type in some text. And I'm going to highlight that, do a Control-C. Now if I switch back to the command prompt, I can do a Control-V and notice that my text is pasted in. So that's number one, kind of neat. Number two is Find My Device. And if you go into Settings and then Update and Security, Find My Device is an option there. And if you select it, one of the cool things that you'll find is that you can turn Find My Device on or off. That's not the coolest piece. Here's the coolest piece. If I come click on Locate Your Device At, it'll open a website. And this is the website that's associated with your Microsoft account. And it'll give you a list of your devices. Now, the thing that I think is neat about this is that not only will it tell you where it last saw your device, right, but it'll also give you information about the warranty on the device. And if you need to schedule an appointment for a repair for one of the devices, you can do that as well. So let me find my Surface Book. Here's my Surface Book. I'm going to say Show Warranty Info. This device happens to be in warranty until 1/27/2018. The other thing that's really cool is that I can schedule a repair. So if I select Schedule a Repair, it'll bring me to another page where I can actually schedule time at my local Microsoft store to take my device in and get it looked at. So pretty neat. Find My Device is pretty cool. This next one isn't new. It's been around for a long time, but it's something that a lot of people still don't know exists. So I'm going to show it here real quick. It's disk cleanup, but more importantly, it's using disk cleanup to get rid of older builds of Windows. When you install a new version or an updated version of the OS, one of the things that happens is we keep your older OS around, and it takes up disk space. It's there so that you can do things like roll back, etc. But if you go into disk cleanup, notice that by default, getting rid of the old OS isn't there. It's not an option. But if I select cleanup system files, it'll go out, it'll do another scan, and it'll pull up any old versions of the OS that it finds, and I'll show you that. So when it comes back, if it finds any old versions of the OS, they'll be in the list. I don't have any, so I can't show you that. But that's how it works, and it's good to know. It'll help you clean up some disk space, especially if you don't plan on rolling back. Be careful, though. If you delete the older Windows directories, you're not going to be able to roll those back. Number four is actually another feature that's been around since Windows 8, I think. I know it was in Windows 10, but that's storage management. And it's actually kind of neat because most people get to this screen and that's kind of where they stop. But actually, if you click on the drives, you get a lot of information about where your storage space is actually going. And so this is kind of neat. I've got a lot of storage space, 188 gigs in apps and games. I've got 201 gigs in OneDrive. And if I click that, I can go in and manage OneDrive. Let me click on apps and games, and it'll give me a list of apps and games. And I can see which apps and which games are hogging all my storage space. And in this case, it looks like Age of Empires 2 is using 4.79 gigs. But I think there's one that's using more. And there it is. Doom is using 62.3 gigs. So now, if I highlight the game or the app that's using storage space, I actually have the ability here to uninstall. And so that's kind of neat. That's something that, again, most people knew kind of existed, but not many people have dug all the way down in there. So I wanted to do it just to kind of give you an idea of what's there. So OneDrive Fetch is actually pretty neat. It's a feature that we had in Windows 8. It went away in Windows 10, and then it came back in the anniversary update. And essentially, it allows you to turn Fetch on or off on any of the PCs that are associated with your OneDrive account. And if you turn it on, you can go into OneDrive and actually get to the file systems on the other PCs that you've added via Fetch. So if I turn Fetch on, my file system, everything that I've got on my computer, whether it's uploaded to the cloud or not, is now available to me, from any other computer that's in OneDrive. And I'll show you that. So I've got it enabled here. Let me use OneDrive to fetch any of my files on this PC. Now if I log into OneDrive, I can go to PCs. Here are my PCs. And if I select LexT Surface Book, I can get to the file system on LexT Surface Book. And I can copy files over to my local machine. I can do essentially anything I want. So that's OneDrive Fetch. The next one is the screen recorder. And it's not the old screen recorder that does static screenshots and then lets you annotate them so that you can help somebody, I don't know, turn Wi-Fi on or something along those lines. This is actually a screen recorder that creates MP4s. And the cool thing about it is, I'm not sure that we intended it to work the way that it's actually working, but I'm not going to complain. It's actually designed to record games. The cool thing about it is that it seems to also work with any desktop app or any legacy app. So let me show you that real quick. So this is actually a tool that I use called Reaper. I use it for recording. If I hit Win and then G, now I've got the screen recorder. There we go. And I'll create a few of them here. Now I'm just going to stop recording. And notice I get a little pop-up here saying that a game clip has been recorded. So So if I highlight that, here's my screen clip, and I can actually play it. And by the way, you can enable the mic or disable the mic. It works great either way. And you can record really any app. The only thing that it won't do is desktop. And by desktop, I mean stuff that you're doing in Explorer. This next one is also kind of cool. Although most people probably will never, ever need to use it, it's good to know that it's there. And that's the memory diagnostics tool. So essentially what it does is it goes out and it checks all of your memory. It writes to each byte of memory and reads that information back in and does a compare so that it can verify that what it wrote to memory is actually the same data that it read back. It'll find things like stuck bits, etc. So if you've got a box that's blue screening frequently and maybe in different places, different applications with different stop codes, might be worth running the memory diagnostics tool just to check things out. So I'm going to launch it. It's just a Windows app. So if I select restart now and check for problems, it'll restart my box, it'll go out, and it'll scan memory. So after your computer reboots, this is what it looks like. It'll go out, it'll scan all of your memory, and if there's an error, it'll report it. I actually can't reproduce that error because I've got a Surface Book that's rock solid. But you'll know it if it's bad. Now this next tool is another tool that's fairly obscure. A lot of people know it exists, but not everybody has a use for it. But if you're an engineer, maybe you support a large number of desktops, or you support maybe even just a small number of desktops, you're going to want to know this trick because it's really helpful in helping you resolve networking issues. Now normally when you take a network trace, you have to actually install a tool. But since the Windows 7 days, we've had NetSH, and we've been able to actually capture network traffic right from a command prompt. I don't have to install anything special. And I'm going to show you that real quick. I'm going to do a NetSH space trace space start space capture. Oops. Equals yes. And you don't have to do this part, but I like doing it. Trace file equals /temp/, and I'll just call this one TOP for taste of premiere.etl, and hit enter. And I'm capturing network traffic. So there's a couple of things to note here. Number one, it's in circular mode, and what that means is that once the trace file gets full, it'll start overwriting the data that we captured early on. The max size in this case is 250 megs, so it'll capture up to 250 megs worth of network traffic. I can go up to 2048, so I can go up to 2 gigs. I can also make this persistent. And what that means is that I can start a capture and it'll run even if you reboot the machine. It'll stop when the machine shuts down, of course, but it'll start right back up as soon as the network stack is initialized. And the really cool thing about that is that if I've got some startup issue and I think maybe the slowdown is something that's going on the network, I can troubleshoot it with NetSH and actually find it. So I'm going to do a NetSH space trace space stop here. And I'm just going to open Explorer. Oops, twice. I'm going to open Explorer twice. We'll just pretend I meant to do that. If I go to this PC, and drive C, and temp, there's my top.etl, and I'm just going to right click on that, and I can open it in either Message Analyzer, which is great, it's a great new tool, or Network Monitor. I happen to really like Network Monitor, so I'm going to open it in Network Monitor. And here it is. Here's the data that I captured. I'm just going to type in IPv4 and hit apply. And we'll filter out all the IPv6 traffic and just show you IPv4 traffic. But this is what's going on. This is the network traffic that was collected on my box. Most of this is actually me recording this show. And notice I've got some filters set up here so that retransmits show up in red, etc. That's what you're seeing there on the screen. But the point is that I just took a network trace from a command prompt, and I didn't have to install anything to do it. Pretty cool, huh? And that's it. That's our grade 8. Those are just helpful hints, tools that I like, things that you may have known or may not have known. What's that? You want to see one more? Okay, I've got one more for you. This is something that's actually pretty neat. Hang on a second, let me open some apps up here. I'll open up a web browser. And I'll open up the Microsoft Store. So everybody's pretty familiar with doing the drag and split screen thing, right? Where you drag an app over to the corner and it split screens. But in Windows 10, did you know that you could drag 4 apps and have them snap? They'll each take up 1/4 of the screen. And there you have it. 4. Well, that's all I've got for you today. So, guys, I'm going to let you go. That's your taste of Premiere.